We turn to the chapter which we read in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, Romans chapter 12, and we shall read again verse 2. Romans chapter 12 at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. In this chapter, we have practical implications from what the apostle has been teaching, the doctrine he has been proclaiming by this epistle to the Christians at Rome. And that is the order, is it not? Teaching and then the living. He's writing, of course, to believers, and he is telling them as believers that their lives must change. Their lives have changed, but they must continue to change. They are not to remain where they were when the Lord called them. They have been translated by grace out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of grace. Now they must be transformed by grace. That has begun. That must continue. Now we have two great truths that we must always bear in mind and keep them together, although they are to be distinguished. Truths of justification and sanctification. And the first is a legal change, a change of status. We who were under condemnation are now right with God through the imputation of Christ's perfect righteousness to our account as those who have been enabled to believe in Christ and Christ alone for our righteousness. But then a change of nature, a new heart and a new spirit, and out of that new heart and spirit, a new life, which is lived by the believer. If the Lord has taken us out of darkness, the darkness of that unconverted state, now the Lord must take the darkness out of us, our sin, and we are to be holy, and he will make us holy, and only that which is holy can dwell in God's nearer presence. So this life is a preparation for death, and the entrance of the soul of the believer into the state of glory. Paul says to the Romans, you must live transformed lives. Well, to consider this briefly, this transformed life, why we need it and what it is and the consequence of it. Firstly, the need of this transformation. In those words at the beginning of the text, and be not conformed to this world. This is what we are not to be. This is what we were, but a change has taken place. And on the ground of the grace of God in Jesus Christ and the calling we have in Jesus Christ to live a new life, transformed life, we must no longer be conformed to this world. by this world, he means the world of sinful, rebellious mankind. And we have all been affected by the world. And as believers, we're far more affected by the world, even as we go on, than we would allow, even than we realize. Worldly ways, worldly patterns of thought, these things are in us. But more and more they must be removed from us, taken out of our thinking, out of our acting. To be conformed is to be fashioned or to be shaped like something. And you can see the world as a mold. And we all fit into that mold by nature. We're the fallen sons of a fallen father. We're like Adam, fallen Adam, when we come into this world. Grace makes a difference, a wonderful difference. But it's only the beginning when we're born again. And there has to be growth in grace. And there has to be an increasing knowledge of Christ and likeness to Christ. For by nature we go after the world. Our desires are toward the world. But how worthless it is. Has not grace taught us that? It's a perishing world. And those who set their heart upon it, they are going to be disappointed. They're going to be wounded. And they're going in the end to be destroyed with it. That's the solemn truth. This world is not as God made it. It defies him. It dishonors him. Indeed, it hates him. A fleeting world, full of vain pleasures and idle thoughts and foolish notions and lifestyles, even sinful and abominable lifestyles. And as Christians, we are called to be separate from the world. We are to be distinct. We are to be after Christ, to have his mind. And as God's law was in his heart, so it is to be in our heart. We're not to conform to our surroundings morally, spiritually. We are to be conformed to Christ. The world has an attractive look to many. And believers can still be drawn by it. And there are good things, lawful things that are here in this world, in this life. And we may have a portion of these things. But we must never allow these things to have an unwarranted place. Too great a place in our affections. Taking up our time. Taking up our interests. We have one interest now, one supreme desire and love, and that is Jesus Christ. We know that we have a soul, and our soul will return to God. And we need to take care of our soul, even more than we take care of our body. Strong temptations come from the world. And we have to resist them. Because we know that our home is not here. We know that in the end, worldly things, temporal things, cannot satisfy us. We can only be satisfied in God. in Jesus Christ? Has not the love of the Lord drawn you? Has not the love of the Lord been your joy and rejoicing since you came to know him? And do you not desire to know more and more of the love of Christ in your experience? When there is love to Christ, who first loved us, then there is less and less love for the world, because the two are in opposition. A rebel reigns, a wicked reigns, and in our own day that wickedness seems only to increase and become more and more gross. And to the believer, it should be so abhorrent that we flee from it. And indeed, we abstain even from the appearance of that which is evil. And to love Christ with a pure love, and to be guided in that love that we have to Christ by God's precious word, which teaches us what is good and pleasing in his own sight. Be not conformed to this world. As you go on in life, make this a rule. Watch out, in case the world exerts a grip upon you and draws you away from the Lord and from the things of God, from the means of grace, in which your soul's salvation lies, and your soul's sanctification lies. You cannot grow in grace, you cannot perfect holiness, if you give your time and your thought to the world, and not to God. Be not conformed to this world. We need a transformation. And then secondly, we learn the nature of this transformation. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it is intriguing that the renewing takes place in the mind. And yet we should expect that. God has so made us that he communicates to us through our minds. Our minds which are able to know, to perceive, to understand truth. The truth that he has given to us in his holy word. God speaks, and he speaks today. He speaks in the holy scriptures. They are the voice of the Most High God. And what of this transformation? It is the same word we find in Matthew chapter 17. When Christ took three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, into a mountain, and he was transfigured before them. He took on a new appearance, bright and shining and glorious. And we are to be transfigured. And that change begins in the mind. Some people have a wrong view of what it is to be a Christian and the change that should take place in their lives. And they think that Christianity is rather like putting on a new suit of clothes. It's as easy as that. You just take up a better way of living. You do certain things that you didn't do previously, and you refrain from certain things that formerly your life consisted in. But it's not external, not firstly. It's internal. It's in the mind. Because the Lord, by His Spirit, has operated there. He's worked grace into our heart. And the mind is an aspect of the heart. And the mind has been instructed by God through His Word. We have been awakened spiritually. We have been enlightened spiritually. We have a new understanding of things. We now see things as they are. These things were hidden from us previously. There was a darkness there. Sin brought it in. But now we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of God's grace in that salvation which is in Christ Jesus. The mind of a Christian has been renewed, and it is being renewed. And we should see things in that way. That as we go on day by day, the renewing of our mind is continuing. It is being brought into conformity to the mind of Christ and the will of God. Search the Scriptures. That is what Christ said to the Jews. Well, they knew the letter of the Scripture. They were very familiar with the Old Testament law, the law of Moses. They claimed to practice it and be scrupulous about it. But they did not know what they needed to know. What was that? Christ. These are they which testify of me. But you will not come to me that you might have life. But we have been brought to Christ. And when we read the Bible and hear it preached, what do we see? What do we understand? First and foremost, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the only Redeemer of God's elect. He is our prophet, priest, and king. He has satisfied divine justice by His obedience. He's given us His righteousness. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And sanctification has begun. And He will continue it until our glorification. And we're walking with Christ. His hand has laid hold upon us. We're going with Him. We're following His steps. And we do that by knowing what He, as our Lord, requires of us. And that is set down in the Scripture. Is the Lord of God your study all the day? And do you pray that the Lord of God will be applied to you? It has the function of reproving, of convicting of sin. There are the things which the Lord of God forbids. And then there are the things which the Lord of God requires. Repenting of sin, that is a lifelong duty and obedience to the Lord. Pray for more grace, that from the heart you would do the will of God in your daily life. And that your mind would have an apprehension of what God requires of you. living before his face in this world as a witness for him until that day when he will take you from this world to a far better one. There must be growth in the Christian life. Sometimes when we look back upon our own lives, we struggle to see how we have made any progress, how we have advanced. We seem to ourselves to be not much further ahead than we were. There may be more knowledge, a better grasp of the contents of the Bible, but is there a better practice of those contents? Are we more instant in our obedience, quick to follow Christ, eager to serve the Lord, or are we still clinging to the world, still holding on to it, still wanting to enjoy all that others enjoy and have Christ with it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom is not worldly wealth, worldly enjoyments. That's a false Christianity. To make out that God wants his people to have the best of everything here. I like the world. I'm better than the world. No. The Lord wants his people to have Christ. And more of Christ. And to be like Christ. And live close to Christ. And we must give attention to the reading of the Bible, the hearing of the preaching of God's word, and to prayer. Children are spoon-fed. That's how they begin. And we are babes in Christ, following the new birth. But we must go on to maturity. We must be exercised in holy things. We must be able to partake also of the strong meat. And to use our minds and our sanctified judgment with regard to issues of the day and matters in our own lives, and things which concern our families and things which concern the church. What is right here? What does the Lord require here? To get light from God's word. God gives us that by his grace. The more we seek it, the more we long for it, having a genuine desire to please our God. We need a tender conscience. A conscience that will be sensible with regard to sin and warn us against it. We need heavenly affections. Affections which are not set on this world, but on things above. Pray for these things. They will help you in your walk. They will enable you to glorify God in this world. And the third and final thing is the result of this transformation. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God is set out in what we call the moral law. And the moral law is summed up in the Ten Commandments. It is a matter of duty, what God requires of us. It was so for Adam, for our first parents, in the Garden of Eden. But then the fall, sin entering in, and sin found in every human heart ever since. Sin has made us such that we cannot do any spiritual good. We must be enabled by grace in union with Jesus Christ. And that grace will cause us to desire an understanding of what God's will is, and to go to Scripture, and to learn, and to practice what we learn. God's law has a forbidding aspect to it, in the sense that when God deals with us initially, the law comes up against us and we come up against it. And it condemns us. It says to us, you're a sinner. And you're a sinner by nature. And that's why you do the things you do, the things which I forbid. And we're brought by grace to Jesus Christ, the only one who kept God's law as it should be kept. And he did so for his people. And the law has been satisfied by Christ. And we're not called in our sanctification to satisfy that law ourselves. That's not the aim. Our aim is altogether different. We're aiming at God's glory. We're aiming to please him. And our keeping of God's law is by grace and grace alone. And it is in the way of honoring God. Doing so out of gratitude. I have been saved with an everlasting salvation, so great salvation, I owe my all to Jesus Christ, who took my place on the cross. What does the Lord require of me? Well, to do justly, to walk humbly with my God, loving mercy. And so we have the law teaching us what it is to do justly, to do righteousness. And our minds are instructed by it, and our wills are directed by it, and God's grace strengthens us to enable us in the performance of those duties which the law prescribes. And we say the law is good, given to man for his good. It's not an enemy. It's only an enemy of the wicked, the ungodly. It's not an enemy of the believer. It's a guide. It gives us sight that we may know how to walk in a way which pleases our God and Father. The law speaks not only to our actions, but to our words and to our inner life, our thoughts and our desires. That is where we are so often found out. That is where we must give attention. That is where the ongoing transformation is to take place. sins. By the law is the knowledge of sin. By grace, there is obedience to the law. Not for salvation, but as a result of salvation. The Christian has a liberty. The Pharisee had no liberty. It was all do this, do this, do this, and live. And there's no life there. The life comes by grace. And that grace enables the one who has that new life, in a measure here, to keep God's commandments, even as we recognize that here we will never keep it perfectly. God's holy law. But one day, when grace has finished its work, we will have been so transformed by God's grace, renewing our mind, that we will have perfect conformity to Jesus Christ. And we will, like Him, love God as we should. And we will be subject to the law. Obedient to the Lord, glorifying the Lord, as God's word calls us to do. May this transformation continue, and may the fruits of it be seen more and more in the lives we live, and let the name of Christ, whose grace enables us, be magnified. May God bless His word. Let us pray. We thank Thee, O God, for the greatness of Thy love in Jesus Christ and the abundance of grace which has come to us in Him and through Him by the Spirit, for the change that has been wrought, and the ongoing change which is taking place. May we indeed be renewed more and more inwardly, and go from glory to glory, and be more and more like Christ Himself. Lead us and guide us in the way, and forgive our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.